Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 226th edition of SDG, Soledad Gloria, and the title of today's message is actually a question. Do you know the works or the ways of God? And folks, we just need to praise the Lord because up to the last minute there, the Blog Talk servers were too busy. Yes, too busy. And I was just praying fervently, Lord, I want to get this message out while it's still fresh on my heart. I shared it last night at Sozo's, and I want to share it with you today. So anyways, that's a question for all of us. What do you know about the Lord? Do you know his works or do you know his ways? Are you like the children of Israel, knowing his works? Or are you like Moses, who knows the ways of God? You may be wondering right now, what's the difference? Well, this message intends to show the difference between knowing God's works and knowing God's ways. So as a Christian, which do you know, his works or his ways? I'd like to read Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 through 14. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. I know thou hast found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And now here's God responding back to this incredible prayer that Moses prayed. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Now in this passage, Moses was facing that huge task of leading God's chosen people, the children of Israel, all through the wilderness, you know, and into that land of Canaan, also known as the Promised Land. So he was facing a huge task with all sorts of unforeseen problems. And then he makes this incredibly great prayer. And from verse 13 in this prayer, we ought to make this our prayer. Each of us as Christians ought to make this our prayer. And here's what he said in verse 13. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, which we all have through the blood of Jesus Christ, show me now thy way. So now, like as I opened with that question, there are two ways that we can know or be acquainted with God, by works or by ways. Now, last night at Sozo's, I played that shocking message from the Pope where he tried to unite all quote-unquote believers. Well, I guess, you know, he's even trying to unite the demons, because James said that even the demons believe in God and tremble. So he had a Muslim there, he had a Jew there, he had a Christian there, and he had a Buddhist there. And they all, quote-unquote, believed in God, you know? But it's not enough just to believe in God. And then the Pope even went further, around the 45-second mark. Folks, if you can't find this on the Internet, email me. Sister Kathy pointed it out to me. And the very moment I watched that, when the 45-second mark hit, and he said, but the one thing we all have in common is that we're children of God. Folks, that's a lie. That's a lie from the pits of hell. And you know what? The Bible says in the second letter to the Corinthians, the Bible says that Satan comes how? He comes masquerading as an angel of light. He's still able to shapeshift back to his former glory before he transgressed, you know, as Isaiah 14 tells us, as do his ministers of righteousness. So the place to look for these lying prophets and these lying wonders is in the church at the pulpit. And which pulpit in this world is higher than the Pope's? None. Yet he's telling us that we're all children of God. Yet Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So make sure it's not a latent power of the soul operating there, but you may have that witness in your spirit. Make sure it's your spirit, folks. Then he gets a little bit more specific in verse 21 and says, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So there, Paul's implying that something has to happen. There has to be some sort of transformation. And then over in chapter 9, verse 8 of Romans, he says, that is, they which are children of the flesh, these are not children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for seed. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. So not everybody is the children of God. Then he makes it very clear in Galatians 3:26 how we become children of God. He says, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And then John tells us in his first letter, chapter 3, verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest or made known, and the children of the devil. So there are two different lineages. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And then he continues in chapter 5, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. So the Pope lied there. And then his ending prayer wasn't for salvation unto all. It was to open a dialogue so we could have peace. Well, you can have all the peace you want, but if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, at the end of the day, whether you're a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Christian, an atheist, you're not covered by the blood of Jesus. And if you're not covered by the blood of Jesus, you're not going to be justified. And if you're not justified, you're not going to be saved. And if you're not saved, I don't even want to talk about what's going to happen. So anyways, folks, There's so many people out there that'll pitch a tent on the top of a mountain and just marvel at the glorious works of God. Carol last night at Sozo said, her son said, I don't need to go to church. I can meet God out in the woods. And that's true. And you could probably manifest all sorts of wonders out there with the Lord, you know? And you'll be just like the Israelites. You know what you'll know? You'll know his works. You'll see the beauty in the sky, and you'll see that wind go through the pines and hear it and feel it and smell it. You can, when you're in the woods, folks, you ever notice that? You don't just see or hear the wind. You actually are fully immersed in it as it goes through those pines, and it stirs up the scents from the pine, and you smell it. And, I mean, you folks that are out in the woods like I am, you know what I'm talking about. So we can know God's works and what he does, or we can get deeper with the Lord and actually know his ways or who he is. And folks, I just pray that we can get that deeper relationship that comes only through knowing God's ways. You know, notice Moses didn't say, Lord, show me your works. That's because he already had seen plenty of God's works. He says, Lord, you've given me this huge task to do, and I want to know your ways. And praise the Lord, God answered his prayer. And the Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 7, he, that's God, made known his ways unto Moses and his acts, or his works, unto the children of Israel. So Moses knew God's ways, whereas Israel only knew God's works. So they saw what God did, whereas Moses knew something that the rest of Israel didn't know. And I'm telling you, these are the two different levels of knowledge about God. One's knowing about God, you know, knowing his works. Everybody could know what the famous doctor in town does, the famous cancer surgeon that has just cut out so many malignant growths in so many people and stitched them up perfectly and just done it so precisely that so many people are leading successful, abundant lives. So they know all about that famous surgeon. But they don't know him like his children know them, know him in relationship. And that's the difference between knowing about and knowing. So the people that know God's works know about God. But the people that know God's ways know God intimately in relationship. So some only know God's works. They see what he does, while others see God's ways. And they have insight into his very character. Now, knowing the ways of God will bring peace to you in troubled times. And God knows we need that right now, don't we? So in these perilous days, it's my prayer that all of us might learn the ways of God in a deeper and more meaningful way. And I'm telling you, this will bring us peace and unity in times of trouble. So to begin with, let's look at some of the difference between just merely knowing God's ways and knowing God's works. And we're going to compare and contrast five different concepts here. The first one's the difference between rest and relapse. And I'm trying to put these in words that you can simply remember. So there's rest and relapse, okay? Now, God promised Moses rest. We saw that in verse 14 where he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. But Israel, they found no rest. And God comments on this in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, where the writer of Hebrews was going back to this time in history and teaching us. And the writer says, wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart and have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Right there, folks. Black print on white paper. So for 40 years, those Israelites wandered through the wilderness as they witnessed God's works. And here God's saying, they saw my works, but they never knew my ways. So he's saying, I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. But Moses said, Lord, I want to know your ways. And God says back to Moses, Moses, I'm going to give you rest. Praise the Lord. So Israel knew God's works, but they never found God's rest. Do you know any Christians like that? Do you know any Christians that may be in positions of leadership like that? Always troubled. Oh, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. Always crying. Always having problems. You know why? Most likely they haven't entered into God's rest. But when you know his ways, there's a huge difference in you. And that's the difference between knowing God's rest and entering into relapse or backsliding. The point here is that we need to know God's works to begin the process, sure, so we all need to be able to see what the heavens declare, what creation declares, the glory of the Lord. We need to know what's written on our hearts, the law of God. But then it has to go further than that. And we have to come into knowing his ways. Now, this land of Canaan, in this story in Exodus, that represents the believer's rest. And so many Christians out there, even people with ministries and blog talk shows, talk about when we get to heaven. I can't wait till we get to heaven. I can't wait till we get to heaven. Oh, woe is me. This is so awful here. Guess what, folks? It doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be like that. You can enter into the believer's rest here on this side of eternity. We're to have rest now. And there are so many Christians that have never found that rest. Just like those Israelites who wondered and murmured and complained. Now, to those of us who know God's ways here and now, we find that we're living in this perpetual Sabbath. Not a seventh-day Sabbath. Not once a week, but 365 days a year. So which are you? Are you in that constant state of angst? Or have you entered in to rest? Now, I have a question for all you. Why are there so many Christians out there who don't know this? And why don't they partake in this blessing? Well, I'm going to tell you why. There's no blessing without obedience. And there's no obedience without trust. And there's no trust without love. And there's no love because there's no knowledge of God in that deep, intimate way that comes through relationship. The point I'm trying to make is you can't trust someone you don't know, and you can't know anyone if all you see is their works. It's like that doctor I was talking about earlier. Oh, you know about him. You know that he's really a good surgeon, and he's helped a lot of people. But you don't know him in relationship. You don't know his ways. You don't know what he likes and what he doesn't like. You don't know what makes him laugh. You don't know what makes him sad. The point is you don't have a relationship with that physician. So to know someone, you have to know their ways. And you have to know their ways in order to love them. And you have to love them in order to trust them. And you have to trust them in order to obey them. And that's the reason Israel never found rest, because they only saw the works of God. Is this making sense, folks? So they saw the miracles of God, the plagues in Egypt, the Red Sea being open, but they never understood the ways of God, the more intimate relationship with the Lord like Moses had. So they never found rest. You know any Christians like that, folks? Always crying, always troubled, always being attacked by somebody. Do you know anybody? Do you listen to anybody? On Blog Talk, it's like that. So the difference between knowing the works of God and knowing the ways of God is the difference between rest and relapse. Plus, there's also a difference between intimacy and infatuation. So when you know God's ways, you're intimate with them. But when you're merely knowing his works, you become infatuated with them. And the truth is, it's very easy to be infatuated with our God. And in a sense, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But it's not the best. In today's world, there are a lot of people I like to call miracle mongers, you know. They're only looking for a miracle or a sign. Just turn on TV today, or religious TV, or turn on Blog Talk Radio and get onto some of those Blog Talk shows. It's like one sideshow after another. And there's a big difference between this and what Jesus wanted for us. You know, Jesus did miracles, but didn't advertise them. Whereas people today do miracles and have all sorts of visions and have figured out prophecies and what the big toe and the left foot of the statue in Nebuchadnezzar's courtyard meant. And yet, they don't really have anything there but a bunch of wind, you know? So people are still looking for miracles. And those are the people that know God's works and not his ways. So they come thinking they're going to get convinced by seeing these things or hearing these things. And we see this type of person in John chapter 2. And in John chapter 2, I'm going to read John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Now then, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them. In other words, Jesus didn't believe them. because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in a man. So Jesus didn't commit himself to them because he knew. He knew what they were all about. And he knew that people could be infatuated by these miracles. But they didn't know him intimately. Then later on in the Gospel of John, Jesus fed 5,000. And people just literally flocked to him. They flocked to him. Now, a little later on in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 53 through about 60 or so, you know, I'm not going to read it all, but there he's talking about you have to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, or there's no life in you. So to have eternal life, you need to drink his blood and eat his flesh. And he's not talking about cannibalism, folks, here. He's talking about getting intimate with him. He's the Word, you know. You got to get that Word into you, and then the Holy Spirit will reveal all truth to you. So then he makes an allusion to this bread which came down from heaven, you know, in verse 58. You could read all this for yourself. Yet they were still dead. He says, but those who eat this other bread will live forever. And so the disciples and the Pharisees and all the religious uppity-ups, they were in the synagogues, and they heard these things, verse 59. And many, many that heard it said, you know, this is a hard saying. This is a hard saying. So they didn't get it, folks. They saw his works. They saw him turn water to wine. They saw him heal people that were infirm. They saw him feed 5,000 men and their families. So probably upwards of 15,000 if you had a spouse and a child with you. And yet they didn't know his ways. And then Jesus finishes there and says, it's the spirit that quickens. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So that's the difference between being a miracle monger and being infatuated with God. Oh, there's a new prophecy. Oh, there's this. Oh, did you see that sign? Praise the Lord for the earthquake. Oh, praise the Lord for this. Praise the Lord for that. And I'm not saying that's bad, but that's not the best. The best is intimately knowing the Lord and resting in the peace he gives you. So you can tell a lot by the way people respond to things, whether they know God's works or whether they know his ways. So just like the disciples here in John chapter 6, Israel was infatuated with God. You just read the book of Exodus. When they came out of Egypt, God literally opened up a super highway for them, right through the Red Sea. And they went through the Red Sea, leaping and dancing and shouting and praising God. That was all infatuation. But it wasn't long until they were murmuring and complaining in the wilderness. But Moses, their leader, knew God's ways. Yet in their eyes, he went from a hero to zero in like 30 seconds, you know. But praise the Lord, Moses gives us an example here on how to have a deeper relationship with Jesus. See, I've noticed a lot of people, they get divorced for trivial reasons, and those are usually people who got married for trivial reasons, and that's namely infatuation. So what's your relationship with your spouse like? Is it deep and intimate, or is it a form of infatuation? And then ask that same question about your relationship with the Lord. Is it deep and intimate? Or is it one of infatuation? Are you a miracle monger? Are you going from one prophecy to another, one sign and wonder to another? Are you standing on the deep, immutable promises of the Word of God? And I'm telling you, that's the difference between rest and relapse. It is. That's the difference between intimacy and infatuation. So if all you have is this very shallow knowledge of God, you're going to relapse or backslide when trouble comes. If you don't know the ways of God, you're gonna have trouble. And you'll want a divorce from God as soon as the times get tough. Or you may not trust God when times get tough. And then you may lash out at your brothers and sisters in Christ. Plus, it's a difference between being a teacher and a testifier. And I'm telling you, folks, there are some people out there that claim to be pastors and teachers who do not understand this. They should just stick to testifying. Now, when a person only sees the works of God, he's a testifier, whereas a person who knows the ways of God, he's a teacher. Praise the Lord. And that's so important. You know, it's easy to give a testimony, but God tells us, Jesus the Most High God tells us to go and teach. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And I, lo, will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So he tells us right there to go and teach. Now, people with only a testimony, they don't make good teachers or counselors. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 24, your statutes are my delight, they are my counselors. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, so Moses could teach in the ways of God. The people, the children of Israel, could never do that. They could never teach. So it's pretty easy to give a testimony. If you see God do something great, you can stand up and give a testimony. You can get your own blog talk radio message, and you can get up on and tell how great God is, and that's not bad, folks. And there's a lot of people can stand up and testify and talk about how Jesus slayed them in the spirit when they were 9 years old and they missed 3 days of school. And that's wonderful. And I'm so glad for that. Everybody ought to have a testimony. But are you going to go any further than that? You know, Jesus said to go out and teach. So are you ever going to learn the ways of God so that you won't only tell what God has done, but who God is? Do you just have this like innate desire to know something about the very nature of God? Now that's why most of us out here are not good teachers. Although we're great testifiers, and praise the Lord for all my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who are out there giving testimony. But don't confuse giving testimony with being a teacher. So what makes a good teacher and a good counselor? Well, it's intimately knowing the ways of God. That has to go from your head to your heart. And then if you want to try to give counsel to others, don't try to solve their problems for them. And that's what so many quote-unquote teachers, preachers, counselors do. But they're not being a good counselor. Being a good counselor means bringing another to God. It means teaching them how to have a relationship with the Most High God through Jesus Christ and show them how to learn the ways of God and understand the very nature of God. So the truth is that only those who know the ways of God will be good teachers, pastors, counselors. Plus, to know the ways of God rather than merely the works of God is the difference between peace and panic. Yes, peace and panic. You know, at the Red Sea, Moses was the only one that didn't panic. Everybody else was panicking when they were backed up against the sea and Pharaoh's chariots were coming at them full force and there was water in front of them and mountains on their sides. And that's because they didn't know the ways of God. You know, but when you know the ways of God, you can walk in the Spirit. And there's peace in your heart, regardless of the circumstances. You don't lash out at people and say nasty things to them. Tell them you were going to fire them anyways. You know, you don't tell them that they're double-minded. You don't say hurtful things to them. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And then Paul tells us in Colossians 3:15 that we're to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So, somebody once said, if you can keep your head in when all those around you are losing theirs, you know, it's a sign you don't understand the situation. Well, that could be. Or it might be a sign that you know the ways of God, and you have peace rather than panic. Think about it like this. If all you see are the works of God, then when the works of God don't work out just right for you, what do? You push the panic button. You know, the truth is that in this world, many times, things aren't going to work out the way we think they should. And just about the time you think you've got it all figured out and you understand what practice and righteousness means and you understand God's position on protecting the innocent and you think you understand what it means to love one another, just about that time, you think you got it all figured out how God works? He does something strange. Well, shazam, you know? So if you try to derive your theology only from the works of God, you're going to be panicking most of the time. You're going to be having crying fits all the time. And folks, I'm telling you, we need to know the ways of God. I hope I'm getting this difference across to you. I really hope I am. You know, think about it like this. We had these people in Exodus 33, that were murmuring, complaining. Remember, Moses went from hero to zero in about 60 seconds after he got him through the Red Sea on a superhighway. And then manna came down from heaven. But they murmured and complained. They didn't like it. And then think about it. Wind the clock ahead now. We're seeing all these miracles in the Gospel of John. And get up to John chapter 6, verse 18 through 20. Okay? And now Jesus had just fed 5,000 men and their families. And he told the apostles to gather up the extra bread and fish. And then he sent them across the Sea of Galilee on a boat. And he went up onto the hilltop to watch them. And the sea arose by reason of great wind that blew, so that when they had rowed about 25, maybe 30 furlongs, they were too far to turn back at that point. That's the point. They see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. That means they panicked, folks. But he saith unto them, "It is I. Be not afraid," or in other words, don't panic. So did they know God's works, or did they know God's ways? Were they intimate with Jesus, or were they merely infatuated with him? Were they in his rest, or did they relapse? Remember back what Jesus said when he said, "You got to eat my body and drink my blood"? They said, "This is a difficult thing, Lord." They weren't intimate with him. That's the point here. So, you know, it's a difference between peace and panic. And furthermore, and finally, it's a difference between being an intercessor and just merely being indifferent. You know, just like Moses, Abraham knew the ways of God. And you know that story in Genesis 18 when the Lord said, "I'm going to destroy Sodom"? Well, if you look around verse 22, "And the men turned their faces from thence." That means they were indifferent. And they went toward Sodom. But Abram stood yet before the Lord. And Abram drew near and said, and he's talking to God as an intercessor now, like that woman in War Room. And what's he say? "And Abram drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall thou not judge all the earth? Do right?" So here we have Abram, who knew the intimate, deep ways of God, and he's interceding for these others who were indifferent. Now, there's a lot of foolish prayer that goes on out there because people simply don't know the ways of God. They're asking God for things that he just simply won't do, and that's because the ways of God are often very different from the works of God. You know, Moses prayed, "Lord, show me your way that I may know you intimately." So how can we know the ways of God? Well, first of all, let's look at two ways that we'll never know the ways of God. One of them is through human reason, and the other is through human ingenuity. Yet we've got so many people out there today that are putting all their trust in science, which isn't even science. It's science falsely so-called, like Paul warned Timothy. It's scientism, and that's all done in the head, folks. And you've got to take that head knowledge, and it's got to become heart knowledge. It's got to come from knowing God's works to knowing God's ways. You know, the Bible says in verse 12 of our focus scripture in Exodus 33, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people. Thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." So right here we see that there are some things that Moses didn't know because God didn't tell him. Yet Moses didn't flip out about it. You know, Moses wasn't flipping out as to whether the earth was a globe or whether the earth was flat. And if somebody came to Moses back then and said, "Hey, Moses, I think the earth is a globe," I don't think he would have shunned them from the fellowship. Or on the other hand, today, if someone comes to you and you're so convinced that the earth is a globe and they say, "Maybe it's flat," would you shun them from the fellowship over something like that? Folks, the point is there are simply some things we don't know. Only God knows. And Sister Kathy said that. Only God knows. And praise the Lord, that's true. You know, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord." So don't ever make the mistake of thinking that God's ways are like your ways and that his thoughts are like your thoughts. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 continues, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." So you're not going to know God's ways through human ingenuity or reason. Our thoughts are never going to reveal God's ways. God's ways are so mysterious, and that's what we need to get into our understanding about a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit's there to help us every step of the way. So the way to get to know God's ways is through intimate face-to-face dealings with the Father through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face-to-face, Exodus 33:11. And then God goes on and says, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. That's in verse 14. And then the Bible also says in verse 19, and he said, this is God talking to Moses now, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now what this is talking about here is an intimate relationship with God that doesn't come by observation, doesn't come by seeing the Red Sea open, or 5,000 men and their families being fed by five loaves and a couple fishes. It doesn't come by interrogating God or trying to reason with God. It only comes through an intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ, where you put your hands up and you receive the faith of Jesus Christ and you say, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all. That's all, folks, my pride, my reputation, everything. I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. And when you do that, what happens is the Lord supernaturally imputes into you his righteousness, his truth, his mercy, his justice, his faithfulness. You know? Justice, mercy, faithfulness. The weightier matters of the law that the Pharisees didn't understand. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. Ponder on that for a little bit, folks, and then think about what you ought to be doing to protect the innocents. Anyways, you're never going to learn all this by just opening up a book or signing up for a blog talk show and getting a bully pulpit and beating people up and hanging up on them. There's no way that we're going to see God and what God does and know the ways he does these things unless we humble ourselves, fall on our faces before him, and recognize that we're never going to understand all this stuff. Sure, we can see the works of God, and boy, they're wonderful, praise the Lord. But God wants us to know him face to face. And when we pray and when we cry out to him for that intimate relationship, to know his ways, he's going to say, my presence will go with you, and I'll speak to you face to face. So in conclusion, folks, all I want to tell you is that the purpose of all preaching and teaching and counseling isn't to solve other people's problems, but it's to bring them face to face in the very presence of God and teach them how to know God face to face, to know his ways. And when we learn to seek his face and not his hand, we'll know his ways and we'll find rest and peace for our souls. So that's my prayer for all of you today, that you come to know God's ways and not merely his works. Father, seal this message to our hearts. Seal it to our hearts, Lord. And help us to understand that Jesus is the way. Help us to understand that intimately, Father. Seal this message to our hearts, Father, that Jesus is the way. Now I love you all. Go out this week and learn God's ways and be blessed in the name of Jesus.
Oh, Creator.